This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Ian Boltzmann, FUBAR Radio.
Oh, hello there. Nice to see you. Come on, come on in. You daft fuckers, welcome to Monday. Whoa, it's 4 p.m. and it's time for Ian Boltzmann all over your radio. Thank you. Right, you shower of cunts. Here's what's coming up on the show today at 4:30 p.m. We've got Audrey Brisson talking about Amelie, the musical at the Other Palace in London from 29th of November 2019 to 1st February 2020, you pricks. Flaps at 5 p.m. Mark Simmons is in the studio talking about his show One Liner and his podcast Jokes with Mark Simmons.
Yep.
Tits. Holy shit, up a fanny at 5:30.
That's disgusting.
Lulu Mabratu is in the studio to talk about the new punk musical she's starring in, Parakeet, on at Payne's Plough's Roundabout at Summer Hall as part of the Edinburgh Fair. Have you made this up?
No.
Anus.
Ian Boltzmann on FUBAR Radio.
Hi. It's been a sweary show already. I noticed, Nat, you're turning the air blue there.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's you, isn't it, with your vulgar.
All sweared out now. Let's get my swears out the way. Early doors. Everyone knows what they're getting.
Yeah.
And then all the swears are all done.
There's no more swears.
Now we can just be pleasant company for your Monday
listening 4 pleasure.
O'clock listen that you have. I'm not really in the mood for it. I was in the middle of playing my game.
That's a shock.
Let's play my game.
I know, I saw, and you're annoyed because you've got one more level
I've
to go,
got,
right?
No, I've got
life.
a life left.
Do you want to just get out of the way and die now?
I could. I probably won't die. I'm really good at it.
Okay.
It's called Tomb Blast. Have you played Tomb
Blast? No, I haven't. What's Tomb Blast?
But you can't join my group, mate, because my group has got full membership. Thank you.
Oh, who's that?
My group's
Barry
called,
in it?
Yes, he is. My group's called Infinite Hermit. It's
what's
all people
name,
from
then?
My Patreon.
Oh, okay.
And we're all in a team, and we're winning everything on Tomb Blast. It's a game where you do stuff on it.
It's good.
Should I do shout-outs to all my Tomb
shout
Blast
them out.
Team?
Shout them out.
Ian B, leader.
That's you.
That's
shout
me.
Out.
And I'm top,
she's
by the way.
For that.
I am top of it. I'm at level 2906.
Yeah, is that good?
Very good. And basically, I'm on new levels. They're all
right,
stupid.
Just to clarify, you are shouting yourself out.
Giving myself a shout-out because I'm the leader. Yeah. Ian B, leader.
It's unusual, but...
Number two, Billy Grabula. He's on 2488. So, like... 400 plus, less than me. Less levels than me. Bonzo Conkers, Shirt Front, Tom, Big Wongle Face. These are the sort of fans I've got. Mm. Siobhan, Westwood, Black Cat's Lady.
What, Westwood?
Westwood.
Tim?
Possibly. Black
Shout
Cat's Lady.
Tim Westwood.
Blaster 103, Bumface, Neep, Sazzle, Joey, Gemma,
so
Rinksy, Little Miss Gigi, Minty Allen. He's a tit on
Minty
here, he
Allen.
Yeah, he's a proper fucking idiot.
Shout out Minty Allen.
Well, they have a little chat bit in it. He's a bellend. Oh. Bubbles, Chris O, Stee, RJP, Tattoo Barry.
Is that Barry?
No, I think that's Barry Gwilliam who has the tattoo.
Oh, yeah,
I
got
presume.
A tattoo of you on his leg. Yeah.
Creed Kafer. Do you know what that is?
Creed Kafer, no.
Do you know who Creed Kafer is?
No.
That's the false name of a ghost that they gave Derek Acora on
Most Haunted.
To trick him into revealing that he was making it all up.
And did he go, oh, I can feel Creed
Kafer is an anagram of Derek Faker.
And did he go, oh, Creed Kafer?
Yeah, he did it, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting Creed Kafer. Rob, David, Ola, Baldy Locks.
Baldy Locks.
Hasn't given a lot of these haven't given any helps and they're meant to. Ian Baz, a little tribute there, I think, to me and Barry.
Oh, that's cute.
Reese, I presume that's Reese, the comics man.
Reese Finlay, yeah.
Casey, Smith. Nikki Drinks, Sue.
Sue, Pollard.
No, it's S-I-O-U-X. Oh, okay. Sue. Alana. Juwedge, so J-U-I-J-R-U-J. Dave Dodd.
Yeah.
Kitten.
I know him, yeah.
If you're complaining, by the way, this is like...
I'm just going to come around here for a sec.
What are you doing? Get off me. Get off me. Get off me.
Keep talking.
Oh, it's gone back to the top.
Keep doing your... Oh, fuck God.
Where was I up to? I'll start again. What are you doing? Casey. Did I miss out? No, I did Reese. Casey, Nikki Drinks, Sue, I've done them. Alana, G-U-J, I've done them as well. Dave Dodd, I've done as well. Kitten.
Yeah.
Don't know if it is actually a kitten. If it was, I'd put it in a bag and chuck it against the wall.
Whoa, no, Martin no, P, no, you wouldn't.
Martin P, D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
I don't even know how to say this. GIF, so it's G-I-F-H-H-F-H.
G-I-F-H.
It's probably a Russian bot, that. Trixie, GIF Felix, up. Finley, Joe, J-O-H-H-H, Dawn, Shan, Libby, Matilda and Sarah. Sarah's on level 24.
Well done, Sarah.
Bottom of it, 24, and I'm on level... 2906.
Maybe Sarah's new to the game.
Well, the group. Pull a fucking finger out.
All right. Did you mention Barry Gwilym?
Stuff here.
It's just tweeted in.
Gwilym.
Oh.
What happened?
I thought I was going to do something.
What?
Just ate some cheese.
Right.
It's having an effect.
I had momentum in the show then.
So, what yeah. Are you doing? We're doing it. Best show intro for ages. I'm crying.
What was up
with
it?
Says Barry Gwilym.
Why?
Loved it because you went all sweary and stuff.
Just a normal one, mate. Just the normal stuff. Normal well, what thing. Do you want to talk about?
Well,
do you play any games on your phone, mate?
I do, actually.
Candy Crush, that's what girls play.
No, I've given up on that. Girls too play that. I play Frozen Mania.
What?
And Christmas Frozen Swap.
Do you?
Yeah.
What happens on them?
Well, you just got to put shapes together.
Right.
But sometimes there's chocolate that eats it.
Should I tell you what ones I play?
Yeah.
I play Toon Blast.
Yeah.
It's breaking the day for me, Toon Blast. So
oh, here we go. Is this from Barry again? Can you let Ian know I've given him a life on Toon Blast? Because you just mentioned it. It's like very psychic, the show. It keeps happening. So he should be back playing again soon. Glad we won again. Unbeatable.
Yeah.
There's that winning everything. From Barry,
let's
it?
Have a little look. See if my life has
it's
come
not
through.
From Barry. It's not from Barry. It's from Nikki.
Drinks.
It's from Nikki Drinks. It's from Nikki
got
Drinks.
Life. Let me get that life. Right, get that.
Yep, so you got that. Well, not for now. Nikki, did you think this through? He's gonna, sorry, not going to play it now, are you?
Like, well, I am, yeah. Well,
thanks, Nikki. Yeah. Can you possibly, any more of us?
To explain what's going on. There's a load of barrels, there's a load of greenery. So I've got three yellows and three yellows at the bottom. So get rid of them. Get rid of them. Oh, it's not looking brilliant now, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Let's have a little look. Oh, that's looking slightly better. There
well,
we go.
This is, I don't want to wish you dead, but I hope this life is done soon. So
just hang on. Don't. You mean we don't? This isn't what we do. We don't interrupt someone when they're concentrating, when they're having a bit of time to themselves.
Right, but the show has started.
Which is what I'm doing at the moment.
Can I talk about a new game that we kick off next week?
Here we go. Hang on. Oh, there weren't many bombs. Yeah, this is. I'll tell you what, mate. This isn't looking good.
It's probably a train game, isn't it?
It's really not looking good, this. Go on, you say about your games while I just finish
well,
this
no,
level.
Because I was going to talk about the show, that because obviously we kick off a new game next week, which I do want people to get involved in.
Right.
Which we started. Listening to me, so I can just say it, right?
Thing that we did.
So we sort of found someone who had passed, a well-known figure, and then had to guess the age of when they passed. I can, spoiler alert, Ian got one right.
I got one bang on, didn't
I?
Well, hang on, you're ruining the show next week.
Well, I'm not going to say who it is, did I?
Just hang on a minute.
But I'm saying if people would like to get involved in this game,
ooh,
needs a title really as well, if you want to tweet us at Fubar Radio, you can email Ian at FubarRadio.com and also just throw some random people at us.
Really don't think I'm going to do it.
Yeah, so that's at Fubar Radio to tweet the show. If you could think of a title, I think that's very good actually, then come there, creative.
There's the last game.
Harry, we have to come up with a title. Nikki, can come up with a title.
Painfully close.
It's long, isn't it, this one?
Painfully close, didn't do it. Sadly didn't do it, but thank you.
Thanks, Nikki.
Nikki, for that life. I also play on my phone. I play Word Stacks.
Great.
And I play, there's another word one, Wordscapes.
Lovely,
that well.
What's that? I might like them, actually.
Kind of brain training sort of game, so I'll just show you. I'll put it up on my phone so you can see what sort of game it is.
Okay.
It's like basically like anagrams and stuff.
Oh, okay. I need to get better at those, actually. There was once a pub quiz that I did full of anagrams. Never got any of them.
You've got to make as many words as you can out of them. and fit them in the crosswords.
Yells. I've got yells.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
So don't play a game on the radio.
That would be just really rude, wouldn't it?
So they're the games to play, you know, on my train journeys or if I'm just having a minute waiting for a C-3PO leg to dry.
Sure. You just have a little time. Doesn't it annoy you with those games when you run out of lives? You've got to wait like 2 hours. Well, the idea is they want you to pay for...
Don't do that. Do you know what? I'm on Toon Blast.
Mm.
I believe now I've got Jedi powers on it. I think I'm really good at it.
Oh, okay.
Like, really good at it.
Well, not then you weren't, were you?
No, not then, no. But I'm also presenting a radio show at the same time.
Oh, are you? Well, that's good. Back in the room.
I'm decent at it.
Yeah.
I'm good at it. So I rarely wait for lives. I also quite like that when something gives you limited lives because it can't really take over your life then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true, actually.
No one could argue.
That's true.
For me and me playing it, enjoying my radio show, that it's took over my life.
No one could say that when you started the show straight into it with playing two games.
But it's not like sitting at home on a PlayStation for 4 hours, is it?
No.
You know, it's sort of like if you use up all your lives, you use up all your lives, and that's it.
But those games, that sets a couple of times I have spent 99p.
Have you?
Because I'm like, no, I'm so close. I've got to do this. I can't stay on this level anymore. I've got to level up.
Or Toon Blast, and if you can get anyone from Toon Blast to talk to us to deny this, I'm more than willing to hear it.
Sure.
But Toon Blast, I think, works on a system where it actually recognises when you're stuck, keeps you stuck for a bit, and then if you go away for the game for hours, you come back and it just essentially does it for you.
I think that's true, because the game, I didn't play my game one of them last night. I thought, I'm sick of this level, I'm doing it for weeks. What happens two times? Didn't want to do it the first time, second time, let me win.
Sinister, isn't it?
Mm.
When you think about it, that they're deliberately hanging you there, sort of like, oh, then I'm going to let them nearly do it. And this is all programmed into the game.
Yeah, it's true.
And then if you go away, it's like, oh shit, well when they come back, let them win.
Yeah,
gotta keep them hooked.
Keep them hooked.
I don't think I've ever paid for anything on Toon Blast. Maybe did I?
Did once. I regretted it, but I was like, I have to get past this level now. It was really driving me crazy.
Well, I think, do you know what, Nat, I think 99p is okay. Yeah. If you've played a game for free, if you've got it for free, and you've had good use out of it, and then somewhere down the line you're like, I'm just gonna buy some free lives or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any harm in that.
Okay, that's good.
Because you're just paying the people who made it. Otherwise, you've got it. It's like podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you've listened to loads of podcasts for nothing, and then one day somebody comes on and goes, can you donate to this or whatever? Like I've done it with my stuff.
Yeah.
Then what you want to sort of prey on is people thinking, well, I've had loads of stuff for free.
Right. So
the least I can do
first
is give him 70p a month for his Patreon.
It's popular in our Patreon, isn't it? I see a lot of people using it for podcasters.
Do they?
Mm, a lot of people.
I think it was already. I think it was way popular when I started
doing it. Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of it.
I don't know if it was in the UK. Afternoon, Joe.
Joe F1 just says afternoon, guys. Afternoon. All right. Polite.
All right. Afternoon.
Afternoon. Back to you, Joe.
That's a nice. That's
nice. I'm gonna do you know what? I'm gonna favourite that too. I'm gonna like. I can't even see.
Do you know what? Follow
can't
him.
See him.
Follow
Where is he? Where is he gone? Where's Joe? He's not appearing here.
Follow him on the Food Bar account.
I'm gonna follow him.
No, follow him.
I'm gonna follow him. I'm just refreshing. Theo's already followed it. Him. What's this? Oh, see, they're already getting involved in the game. Excellent.
Go on.
Excellent one, Mark. Should we do it?
You're doing that. You did this in the last show.
It's the wrong way around, isn't it?
Your mouth is going too fast for your brain.
Fallen stars.
So calm down.
But do we want to start it? This is Mark from Career, isn't it?
You should never have brought this up.
No, but I needed to because I wanted some interaction on it for the show after
this. You can't
this.
Have interaction for a show that's already been recorded.
But I think we could do a warm-up to show how it works.
No, but that's just... again, you do this with guests as well. In the intro, you start reading guest CVs, aren't they? They've got fucking nothing to talk about when they get here.
That's true. Well, let's save that.
Hold some stuff back.
Let's say that... If Theo, if you could copy that for the next show, put it on the Google Doc.
Nat's speaking when she should be typing. Mark... we've seen your suggestion for the name, Fallen Stars. It won't appear next week because the show's already been recorded. But what happened was, is that we were trying to guess what age people were when they died.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one right and the other two, I was 10 out on. There's a spoiler for you for next week's show.
Yeah.
And Mark suggested people to guess. Jeffrey from Rainbow.
Oh, well done.
The historical Pocahontas and Karen Carpenter.
We might as well do that now, then.
No, we're not doing it. Because that section starts next week.
Next week. But we'll put that...
I'm not confusing people like that.
Sure.
I mainly mean my producer.
No, I'll remember this because it's good.
It'll be the week after next, Mark. But thank you for your suggestions.
Thank you very much. And keep them coming.
And I hope I've given you some ideas for games to play on your phone if you've got time. But don't get too excited about them and get addicted to them because that'll just make you unproductive in your life.
Sure.
Not playing that one yet.
Not yet. It's too early for that.
Is this some sort of hip music that I don't understand?
Hold on.
It's the album version.
Excuse me for a moment. What was that?
That's from the album. There's a bit talky bit on the beginning.
Why?
I don't know. I don't mind it. It stops after that.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
All right, and carry on then. Yeah. If it starts doing that again, I'm going to stop it.
Why? I mean, it doesn't.
I'm listening.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'll let it play. I'll let it play. Like that one as much as I like the version I had.
I think that's the album version, because that's where I downloaded it.
I used to have it on an album called The Wild One.
What's that?
It was like a compilation album.
Oh.
I had a good looking man on a motorbike on the front with a lady all draped over him.
Chopper.
Yeah. Called The Wild One.
Yes.
I used to listen to it when I was in a proper rebellious mood. It had Alice Cooper Poison on it as well.
I think the singer, as I just said to you, Muggly Kid Joe, I think is very
looked like a little girl. Like Hanson. No.
That was him when I was...
Was the image of Hanson.
He did look like he could have been Hanson. He looks nice out. As with all long-haired people, they cut their hair eventually, the rock stars, don't they?
I won't.
The Bon Jovi did.
No way will I.
No, you're going
to I want to go bald on the top and just have it really long down the back like Richard O'Brien in Rocky Horror.
It's a look, isn't it?
I'm going to stick with it. Although my hair's a pain in the arse, you know. Sometimes literally, because it goes down my back and gets up my bumhole.
Your hair?
Yeah, yeah. Do you not get that with long hair?
I don't have my hair on my
Sometimes if your hair molts a little bit and it can go down the back of your shirt, it can end up working its way into your arse.
Are you sure he does have...
I've had hair.
Are you sure he doesn't have a hairy bum?
I've got a little bit of a hairy bum, but I've had... But you know when you like pull them and they like come out of your arse? Like
no, really, really I don't long. Know this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had that loads. And I've mentioned this before. I definitely did on something or other. And whoever I was talking to said, no, no, no. But then somebody else did say, no, that is a thing. That does happen. Which works its way up your bum, doesn't it?
Do you wear pants?
Do I wear... Yes.
Your underwear?
Yes.
What has it got? What kind of underwear is
Shorts.
It?
Shorts.
So it has got elasticated waist?
Yep.
How's it fall Although, through an elasticated waist?
Do you know what happened the other day? I don't even know how this happened.
Right.
I was wearing some shorts the other day, right? And when I got them out, I was like, what the fuck's happened to them? And all the... Like, in about three places on the elastic, the short had come away from it. So there were holes underneath the elastic.
Right.
And in the crotch, it was just worn away to nothing.
Wait.
No, but you know when that could happen like over time? It's like, oh, these got to go, these. It was like it happened overnight.
Oh, really?
And I was laying in bed with them on, right? And one of my bollocks fell out of it through the hole. And I turned over and it like sort of strangled one of my balls.
Do you sleep with your pants on?
No, I was just laid down the other day.
Oh, okay.
I think I was reading or something like that.
Well, I hope you binned those. You can't repair those pants.
But I do. I will often wear my pants. I have been and I rip them off in quite a sexual way. I actually ripped them off my genital region.
Right.
Tore them off.
You already had one out anyway, didn't you?
Caught it again when I did that.
I
do wear pants when I sleep now.
Okay.
I would have once have been a nudie sleeper, but I find now that there's too much chance of me like sitting on a bollock.
What do you mean?
If it's all out, it can just be like a bit uncomfortable if it's all flopped down.
Oh,
or whatever.
Is that a thing for guys not wear pants in bed to keep it?
I like the support around my testicles and penis.
Okay.
And if I don't have the support around my testicles and penis, if it all feels too loose to me now.
Okay, and it has to be pants. You can just.
I've
pop
not
on.
Got that thing where you know people say that your bollocks all drop when you get older. I've not got that yet, but apparently that's on the way.
Oh, okay.
Apparently your balls get lower and lower as you get older.
Yeah. So how long?
I remember Bobcat Goldthwait doing some stand-up about it the first time he sat on a bollock. That's what he said.
Right, okay.
And he realised how... And Billy Connolly's done stuff about it as well.
Yeah.
He said something about being in the bath and they rose to the surface. But yeah, I've not got that yet.
Okay.
They're not that. They're not hanging down that low yet.
Okay. Well, someone that might be having that, because former... What do we call him on the show? No one knew what he did. Drunk Will. I just had to remind you, who he was.
Yeah,
no, it's not the Will with a big tongue. It's another Will. It's Drunk Will.
Yeah, not Will with a big tongue. Don't be stupid.
It's his birthday on Thursday. He's been banging on about it for a long time. Obviously, right. But I think I've got to get... What do you get someone like Will for a present?
So, what, just a few weeks after you forgot my birthday, you're now asking me how to pre-plan someone else's?
Well, it's his 21st as well, isn't it?
It's my 21st.
It was,
my 21st as well.
So, can I tell you what I got?
Yeah.
I think and the reason why I'm going to say it is because...
He listens to the show, though.
Yeah, but
he?
I'm going to get him something else because I've changed my mind. Because I don't have... on Saturday, I was like, he likes shirts. I do want to get him a shirt.
He likes shirts.
But I went to... There's only got charity shops near where I live. So I was like, well, they do nice stuff in there, isn't it? So I got him a shirt from there, but now I'm not... I don't think
it's
right.
Do you have a postman?
Yeah, but...
So you could order something online and get it delivered to you?
I could, but you've got to try.
Too much trouble, that, isn't it?
You better go and get
yourself down Scope instead and just get a cheap
one. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with clothes and they do nice stuff. But
for a present, though,
is
there?
Well, I'm not doing that now.
You're not getting someone a second-hand shirt for a present.
I might give it back to the charity shop.
So have you bought it already?
I've got to pop out tomorrow. But what can I get him? When I get a boy that is 21 going on 40... Eight. He's so, you know,
what music does he like?
He likes K-pop. He likes
indie. HMV voucher.
Oh, he probably loves that.
One you can only get in store. They're all shutting, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know what to do. But what I did do last night was send him and Theo, the assistant producer on the show, to go and see Rick Astley. I would argue that's a present enough, isn't it?
Not really.
No, not
really. If you didn't pay for the tickets.
I didn't pay
were they
for
free?
The ticket. Yeah, they were free.
See, where was this at?
Q. Click Q the music.
Astley.
Q Gardens.
Went to school with Rick Astley, mate.
Did you?
Yes.
Same.
Why do you doubt everything I say?
Well,
it was Selwyn Jones High School in Newton and Willows.
I think I have. I would remember if you went to school with Rick Astley.
I went to school with Rick Astley. My granddad was really good, like really good friends with his granddad. And his granddad used to run Astley's Garden Centre on the High Street in Newton and Willows.
Okay, well, this is exciting.
And my granddad had all Rick Astley's albums because he was really proud of him.
So you've met Rick several times?
I've never met him.
How come?
He left the year I joined.
Bloody hell, Rick. But the granddad.
Bloody hell, Rick. Well, he's so much older, but my granddad and his granddad were very good friends.
Okay, so your granddad would have met Rick then?
Mm.
That's exciting.
I think so. But like when he was a little kid. In fact, do you know what? My granddad used to do a thing where he'd shake hands with people and he'd say, "You've just shook the hand that wiped Rick Astley's bum," is what he used to say.
That's nice.
Was his little saying that he used to say.
That's
he was dead
correct,
proud of Rick Astley, though. He was really taken with it, you know, that this kid had just got really famous. Because it was a surprise, Rick Astley, when he became famous.
Yeah.
Because he was a T-boy at Stockhagen Warm, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which was where?
Where was it based?
Where's Pete Waterman from?
Up north somewhere.
Warrington. Where am I from?
Warrington.
I was born in Warrington.
St. Helens.
Rick Astley was in from Newton Willows. I went to school in Newton Willows. This isn't
right,
a lie.
No, but I didn't realise that Stockhagen Waterman was based in the north because of Kylie and Jason.
Yeah, I think it was. Oh. And I think so there's two things. So I went to Bretton Hall Drama School the year after the League of Gentlemen left.
Sure.
And I went to Newton Willows High School, which is what is now called Hope Academy.
Yeah.
The year after Rick Astley left.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing a lot about Rick Astley.
Hot on the coattails of all these big
stars.
But
I don't really know what happened last night, so I kind of wanted to get a review from Theo about it. So, Theo, can you come to the studio, please?
We've not met Theo yet.
We haven't. Theo. Well, also, remember, we normally do exit interviews rather than intro interviews, but this is getting to know
That's true. Does Theo know as well that this is also the start of a slippery slope?
Yeah,
invariably, when somebody, you know, from production comes into the studio, it's the start of...
You'll
end up writing a complaint about me, but... You know, you just hear of your own accord.
Yes. This is Theo. To the mic, Theo.
I might end up calling you Theo because I don't know him, but there's a player called Theo Farge who's French for Saints.
It's fine.
So when I say Theo now, I make a point of saying Theo.
That's all right, because Irene that works there is Italian. She calls him Theo.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
I think I met Irene.
You did last time you were in, yeah.
She was a nice lady.
Lovely.
Yeah, she's great.
Lovely.
Yep.
Yeah, I love Irene.
You love her?
Well, not like that.
Is there a thing with you?
No, no, she's got a boyfriend. She's got a man. Nothing to do with me.
And you, what, your boy? Do you look at Irene's man and go, oh, I wish
I've never met him.
Oh, he's nice. I've
never met him.
Yeah. Could be making it up.
No, I've met him.
What if she's making it up to keep Theo away from her?
Definitely.
What if he's just told Theo, oh, yeah, I've got a boyfriend, he's a man, now get away from me?
That is, now I'm thinking about, that's probably what happened.
Yeah, maybe that is exactly what happened, actually.
Were you sent to see Rick Astley, or did you want to go and see it?
I was up for it. I think Will was a lot more up for it than I was, but I'm really happy I went.
Do you know who you look like?
Who?
It's the first time I've looked properly at Theo. You look like the singer from Ugly Kid Joe.
I don't know that.
Do you?
Yeah.
We just played the last
Nat's
song.
Nat's just said how much she fancies that singer.
Well, I said I used to. No, I didn't say that. I said I still do. He's cut his hair, hasn't he? I said.
Well,
I remember having a.
Theo's got a long hair still.
Yeah, so, that's true. I said I used to have a thing for long haired guys.
Yeah.
And now, as with all rockers, they cut their hair.
Yeah, but when you look at Theo now, do you not like go, oh, that reminds me of the time when.
I never thought about that. No, not really.
When I used to look at Ugly Kid Joe.
Hold on, I've got him here. Let's have a look.
Have a bit of a
strong. That's him now,
really?
Isn't it?
What,
that's
you think
him,
so?
No, but look at him. Show him then. Show him
that's
then.
That is him then. That is him then.
It's an image of him.
Yeah, no, I do see that, to
do
be
you?
Fair.
Yeah, you really look like
that's
him.
It's not a...
That could be you in that picture. You really look like him.
We could get a
That's a compliment,
can
isn't
you,
it?
Can you sing? Because you'd be perfect. It's a tribute.
He's got wet hair. In the picture we're looking at, though, he's got wet hair, so it looks like he's just come off stage. So could you just pour some water over your head?
He's always got slightly wet/greasy hair, maybe.
I think that's the 90s, though, isn't it?
It was early 90s. How old are you,
Theo?
I'm 22. So
22 years old.
Yeah. Same age as you, Ian.
24, mate.
Oh, yeah, 24.
A little bit older. A bit of respect for your elders. So, Rick Astley, you went to see. So, if you'll forgive me for saying so, you don't look like a traditional Rick Astley fan.
No, I'm not. Well, obviously, Never Gonna Give You Up is a good tune.
Well,
no, it is.
It always gets the party going, though, doesn't it?
I don't know. I'm never getting invited to parties.
I'd never listened to it on the tube. But, yeah, and I went. And, it was great. He did a lot of covers, as you can imagine.
He drummed.
But he's got loads of songs.
Yeah.
Together Forever.
He had a few, that was a really good
one.
Oh,
no, he played a Rick Astley song before, Hold Me In Your Arms. That's my favourite Rick Astley song.
Yeah, he played that, and there was this big crowd interaction thing where he got, like, the female backing singers to sing Hold Me In Your Arms, then all the females in the audience.
Show me how he did it.
So he was like... I can't remember her name. I think she was called Barbara. She's like, Barbara, come over here. Pulled over the back
Bella.
And sing.
I think she was called Bella.
Yeah, Bella. Yeah. And then she was like, then she started singing, Hold Me In Your Arms. And then she was like, now all the ladies.
Right.
And then all the ladies did it. And then...
Do what they did.
How's it going? What's the beat of it? It was like, Hold Me In Your Arms. Yeah, it went like that. And then Rick came out. It was like a panto. Rick? A lot of it was like a lot like a panto.
No, it's not even Rick Astley. Your mates now, right?
And then Rick just came from the side of the stage and was like, guys, we're not going to let this happen. All the men after me. And right. then went, hold me. And then all the guys, yeah, just started singing it as well. He's great at interacting with the crowd.
Sounds electric.
I bet Drunk Will was going screaming all the time of his
life. And he was complaining about the pint. Do you know how much a pint was in there?
£6.
£7.
Okay, that takes then,
where was this at?
Cue the music.
But you can take your own in. We'd already told Will.
Will failed to tell me that.
I know Will, he was probably leathered when he got there.
Abby said that last week when she went to go and see Billy Ocean. Remember, she came and she said, "Yeah, you take your own drink."
Yeah, we realised that when we were in there. But then it was
£7. By the way, I sent him.
Okay. But it was £7, and then if you took back your cup, you'd get the next one for £6.
So they gave it you in cups.
Yeah.
What else would they give it to you in?
Glass.
I suppose. Just like China cups.
Plastic glass. Little cup and saucer. There you go.
Here's your beer for £7.
But the highlight was, though, this needs to be in the review, is that the second to last song before Never Gonna Give You Up was a Highway to Hell cover, which Rick played the drums for.
Oh, God.
It was incredible. Was it actually?
Was it though?
No, it was. But it was a marvel to see. Something I never thought I'd see in my entire life.
Do you remember when Take That went through a period of, after Robbie left, they went through a period of playing their own instruments for a bit on certain songs? And do you remember, I bet it's on YouTube, I'll put money it's on YouTube somewhere because it's one of the most cringy things you'll ever see in your life, where they played Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
I think I do vaguely. I need to watch it.
Yeah, Barlow with his shirt off like Iggy Top. Mark was playing guitar.
That's it.
I think Howard was on drums.
What was Orange up to? My favourite one, Jason Orange. As well. Loved, yeah. I miss him, actually.
But it wasn't.
I think Mark's my favourite.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Why is Mark going your favourite?
So I think he's quite cute. Like, he's just cute, isn't he? He's always well smiling.
Nice little boy.
Yeah.
He's a nice boy. But
I think the rest of them take themselves too seriously.
Jason Orange, though. His surname is Orange. Come on now.
Well, he can't do anything about that.
No, but it's great. That's what I mean. It's a perfect surname, isn't it?
I see what you mean.
Lovely.
So, was there any support on with Rick Astley last night?
Yeah, well, we missed most of it. I arrived 15 minutes after I said I was going to, and Will arrived 40 minutes early. Will saw support a bit. We walked in together.
No, he wouldn't have got in, would he, without
you? No, we walked in together. We saw a little bit of Billy Lockett.
No, sorry, it would have been the other way around.
Are you the responsible adult?
Yeah. No, because it was Will's name on the guest list, and so Theo was the plus one.
Yeah.
So we had to wait for Theo.
Okay.
There's Billy Lockett, but it wasn't really my sort of thing.
Who's Billy Lockett?
With former guests on the station that we like very much. Oh,
I thought you were going to say on the show.
Not on the show, no. It's nice, I liked Billy.
So how many out of 10 for Rick Astley at the Q thing?
A solid 8, I'd say.
Where did he fall down? Where did he lose to?
Sometimes he would speak too much and too many new songs. But it's one of them ones where he's obviously going to do new songs. His set was too long because by the time it got to Never Gonna Give You Up, I was so ready for it that it just didn't hit all the spots I thought it was going to hit for me.
He did an hour and 45, judging by what time he's supposed to come.
Do you think if Rick Astley opened a gig with Never Gonna Give You Up, that would be a better way of doing it? Or do you think he would lose people by doing that?
Lose.
I don't know, because me and Will thought he was going to do that, and we were like, well, that is a ballsy move.
Yeah.
But then it was quite odd because you'd be there and then people started leaving. So a lot of them obviously were older, they're like, say, like, I don't know,
bedtime. What you saying?
I imagine a lot of them didn't live. Plus,
they got to be in bed for 9.
Well, yeah. So I imagine a lot of them didn't live in London. They've probably travelled to go see it.
Right.
So a lot of the people obviously have booked their trains thinking it'd finish at 11. So a lot of, or like half 10 or something.
Right.
So then people have been walking out and saying goodbye to their friends. And they'll be like, oh no, but you're going to miss it because they haven't played Never Going to Give You Up yet. So I think maybe actually, if you played it at the start, people would just start filtering off.
I think I'd say, like, I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Well, I think. I know. Oh, well, that's not. I'll give it another 3 and then we'll see and then we'll pop.
It'll be on YouTube in half an hour.
Yeah, true.
Just watch it then.
Yeah.
Well, good for Rick.
Good review, Theo. Thanks.
Should we send him to see some more gigs? He could be our roving reporter.
Roving reporter.
I'd love
about
to do
80s
that.
He's 90s, isn't he, Rick? 90s artist.
No, 80s.
The 80s?
Yeah,
the 80s.
He kept on being like, I'm going to take you back to
1988. Oh, okay.
Yeah, around that sort of time.
Sure. That's good.
Who would you like to see and who would you really not want to see?
That's a good question, actually.
You've got to think about who's asking it as well.
Think about how you answer it.
You've got to work out who you definitely would not want to see.
I don't know. I don't know if there is anyone. I don't think there is.
You'd enjoy some thrash metal, would you?
See, maybe not that.
Okay,
maybe not
brilliant.
That.
Good.
But I'm here for all sorts of music. You know, I'm an impartial reviewer. You
right.
Know, I studied journalism at university, so
perfect.
I'm here for anything.
Perfect. What do you want to give it? Like, I don't know stars, but what should we do instead?
Astley's.
No, we can't have Astley's. We can't apply Astley's to every
performer.
Why not?
Why can't we? He started it.
Because Rick Astley would get 5 Astley's because he's Rick Astley.
Oh, true. Well,
he'd cheat the system, wouldn't he?
Call him like Fubs.
Thubs is good.
Thubs. Oh, yeah, so maybe Thubs. We'll call it Thubs with a th. Because it's Theo's for FUBAR.
Oh, the Thubs.
And what's UBS? What is that from?
FUBAR.
FUBAR.
Oh, FUBAR.
Oh,
that's really
God,
good.
That's
Thubs. Horrible. That's really
that
good.
Feels horrible.
Stop
horrible
it.
Sort of
stop it.
Corporate shit. Right, okay, well, it can be Thubs. And so Rick Astley, out of 10 we'll go. You got 8.
I'd like to do it out of 7, really.
Okay, out of 7.
4.5 Thubs.
For 4.5 out of 7 for Rick Astley.
Let's do a leaderboard.
If we've spiked your interest in Rick Astley.
Yeah.
I genuinely like this song by Rick Astley. I think it's beautiful.
It. I got a good reaction last
night. I think
I've
cried at this.
Oh, cute.
When I was like 14.
Okay.
Trying for a long time to say what we want to say, but feelings don't come easy to express in a simple way. But we all have feelings, we all need loving, and who would be the fool to say that we've got to face? So put your trust in me, lover. No one's ever gonna take your place. 'Cause we all have a problem, we all have fears, but there's always got to be a way. Yes, we all have feelings.
singing. I've told you this before, what was Rick Astley famously a backing singer on?
Band-Aid.
A backing singer. No, he was a backing singer. And by the way, he was already famous at this point. He was a backing singer on a very famous song. I've told you before for definite.
God's sake, I can't remember. Where's he from?
Newton and Willows. That's got nothing to do with
Jimmy
it.
Jimmy Nails, Ain't No Doubt.
Nope.
Bee Gees, Staying Alive.
Nope. Okay, one more go at it.
Not Bush City Limits by Tina Turner. I don't know. Eminem.
It's been dismissive, aren't you, of this? He was a backing singer on Can You Feel the Love Tonight from The Lion King.
Ah, the Elton John's.
Elton John's version of it. Who were the other two backing singers? I've definitely told you before.
Oh, God, I can't remember. Donna Summer and.
No, but you're on the right track.
Dr. Dre.
Nope.
Is it. Oh, on the right track with Donna Summer?
Well, not. Well, sort of.
Disco.
Well, it's Kiki D.
Kiki D. Yeah. And so she worked with Elton John anyway.
And one other. So Kiki D, Rick Astley, and one other
George
person.
Michael.
No, no. Again, you're on the right tracks. Think more Pound Shop, George Michael.
I don't want to say that. Michael Bolton.
No, think Pound Shop, Michael Bolton.
I don't want to.
I'm bringing Buble. Personal feelings in it.
Buble.
No, you're on the wrong track now.
Who is it?
Gary Barlow.
Oh, come on.
Gus Barlow. Kiki anyway. D and Rick Astley were the backing singers on Can You Feel the Love Tonight.
It was lovely.
That bit. Tonight. That bit. Okay. And you can proper hear Barlow dominating it.
I will do.
If you listen to it.
Now, we were talking about your hair falling into your bum crack earlier.
Yes, which
Mark
happens.
Oliver's.
And goes up, not just falling into your bum crack, it goes up your anus.
In yours.
It does.
I don't think to anyone else's. But
do you know what? It's not unpleasant. Pulling a hair from your anus is not an unpleasant feeling. It being in your anus is unpleasant, but the actual pulling out of it, it's like squeezing a spot in it. It's the same sort of feeling of satisfaction.
Mark Oliver Stewart
says,
"You
have a spot on your ear. How satisfying is that to pop a spot on your ear?"
Probably too much info, but I have twice suffered from Jeep driver's bum, which is hairs falling down your back and being rubbed into the skin,
oh,
gets
horrible.
Infected and causes perennial abscesses. It's bloody sore.
Is that not an ingrowing hair, essentially?
Yeah, I think so. He says if it gets bad enough, they cut it out and don't bother seeing you up.
I presume sewing you up.
Really?
Can you not just squeeze it if it gets infected? Can you not just pop it all out?
So,
very satisfying, I don't know. That, I would imagine.
Nikki agrees with you that it's definitely rigged those games. If you leave
is
it a
tune
bit,
blast?
You'll suddenly have no problem finishing a level. Exactly, it seemed impossible. I had that last night.
Nikki, that's what I said on the show earlier on.
Right.
Can you not waste time tweeting us and get on with getting more points for our team into the Hermit, please?
And Joe.
That's not a plug. You can't join it. It's a full team.
Right.
50 out of 50 in there. It's very
Robot
popular.
Robot Walrus.
I'm
says,
winning everything.
When you said afternoon, Joe, I got a bit spooked. I was like, how do they know?
Know what?
What?
When did I say afternoon, Joe?
When we had other Joe and he tweeted us afternoon and we said afternoon back.
Oh, yeah.
And we followed him and he
Good for all Joes this afternoon.
Right.
Good afternoon to all Joes. And Mark as well. Afternoon, Mark.
Yeah, afternoon, Mark. Afternoon, Nikki.
Even though Mark started listening late.
Did. Afternoon, Louis, that's emailed.
Louis what?
Louis Crawford.
Louis.
No subject on his email, but he says, hi.
He's got to go.
Hi, Ian and Nat. Really bored at
really
work.
Kind of joke. Yeah. Same.
I don't usually work on Monday and miss the first 10 minutes of the show. Can you play some Randy Newman to break the monotony? Thanks, Louis.
Yeah, I can play some. Just play some of it now.
Just play a tiny bit, though. He didn't say all.
He just said some Randy Newman.
So I imagine he wants, like, sort of 10 to 5
Randy
seconds of it.
Randy Newman. Just play some of it.
And then we'll go and get our first guest of the day.
What do you fancy? Let's go. I Love LA. I'll just play a bit of that for him.
Just a tiny bit. Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Hate New York City.
Oh, that's
good.
Right.
That was enough. I think. There we go. We played some for you, Louis. So
can't argue with that, can you?
No,
not. Do you know any other Randy Newman songs, Nat?
That one about a friend. You got a friend in me.
Yep, good one. Yep.
Short people.
Yep. Do you want to play that?
Yeah, let's play Short People. I like that one.
Why? Because you think it's funny? Because you're a big giant.
Well, I'm a reasonable height.
Do you know when this was released that it caused a real controversy?
Like what?
Because little people thought that he was making fun of them.
Short people.
Yeah, thought he was being serious. That they should all be killed.
Why did you complain?
I didn't. I get the joke. Should we get a guest in?
Yeah, please.
All right. For Louis, Short People by Randy Newman.
Short people got no reason to live.
human short people. We're having a discussion about it in the studio. It's been ongoing. Because we're joined now by Audrey, say again, Brisson.
Audrey Brisson.
Should I do that?
I think you should.
Brisson. Should I make Audrey Brisson? Do you know what? My heart stopped when you came in, because you're dead little.
I am dead little. That song was written for me.
Yeah, well, when you came in, I thought, I hope she don't think it's like a hate crime.
Like, it's the first time she's heard it.
Yeah.
Audrey, I've just, coming, going, right. What the hell is this?
Like, they've gone, she's dead little, and I've gone, right, I'll put fucking short people on them. Like,
come. You know the, how you say, and I'm proving that English is not my first language, people having their little inner tune, you know, when they
okay.
walk in the street and
right.
saying that's yeah, my yeah. song.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Now, this happened to me recently as well, because I interviewed someone who was French recently. Are you
yeah.
French?
Canadian.
That's near enough.
Yes.
And I couldn't... They were saying that English wasn't their first language, and I couldn't... And so likewise with yourself, when you just spoke then, how could it not be your first language?
Because I am from the French part of Canada, so I'm from Montreal.
Oh,
so
but your English is just like... It's better than ours. Better than that.
Hold on.
Well,
I've been to Montreal. It's very nice there. But
it is. Very
they
beautiful.
Do speak English very well, though, I would say.
They
as well.
Do. They do well, depending on where you go in the
yeah,
city.
Yeah.
They will either speak great English or just, you know, swear at you.
Okay. And, I can't get my head around that English isn't your first language, just for the little I spoke to you now.
I've been here for 13 years. I've been to drama school where they try to kick the accent out of you.
Where did you go?
Central School of Speech and Drama.
Oh, we don't allow that, do we? The Royal Central
the
School
Royal,
is called
yeah,
the
yeah.
Royal, there you go. That's the one.
Oh,
yeah, you've got to say Royal Central
the
School.
Royal
Central. We learnt that the other week.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't that lady the other week?
Yeah, she
she'd
went
been
there.
Central School as
and
well.
And then remember she came in with her husband who went to a more less royal one.
No, I'm thinking of the other lady, the
it's
French
the lady.
Oh,
and no, I don't think she went there.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Well, there we go. Some idle chit chat.
Sorry. meaningless chat.
But we're talking about Amélie the musical
yes.
today. Now, do you know what? Even as I'm thinking about it now, I'm not even sure I've seen Amélie all the way through.
Oh,
really?
Get out.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. But what I remember, what I have seen of it, was that I was loving it. Mm. Maybe I started watching it late at night and just didn't see it through and then intended to carry on and then didn't.
Yeah.
It was that good.
No, but I remember really liking what I've
yeah.
honestly got such a vague memory of it.
Mm-hmm. You remember Audrey
Tautou.
Which kind of think I know she did a lot before that, but that was sort of well she became
I think
well
that's
known
where
over here.
Exactly. I think that's where fame started
mm-hmm.
for her. I believe.
Are you playing that role within the show? That's
I
exciting,
am.
Isn't it?
It's, I think so. I only got the role because we have the same first name, Audrey.
Right. Is that contractual?
Contractual.
Yeah,
yes.
Could be, couldn't it? And it's a transfer to the West End.
Yes, the other palace.
And where's it been?
God, so we opened at the Watermill
okay.
in Newbury. And then we went to Wimbledon, Dublin, Edinburgh,
yep.
Oxford, High Wycombe, Exeter, Leicester,
so
Bradford.
It's been on tour now.
It's been on tour and it shall continue being on tour until end of October.
That's exciting.
Wow. Yeah.
And then to the
other
palace at the end of November.
Where fame will...
Could come out. Well, I think people underestimate what a big deal a West End transfer actually is. Like, something does have to be good to end up being a residency in the West End.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so.
No, it definitely does. You can't,
no,
you can't
yeah.
factor that
no,
in.
No,
as
yeah.
a,
I say wouldn't transfer, and it's transferring for quite a long time.
It costs too
February,
much.
February, right? So
absolutely, yeah.
yeah.
It's 8 or 9 weeks, so we're quite fortunate.
Mm. What happens? I can't remember what happens in Amélie.
So, it's a story of Amélie.
I sometimes mix
enough.
It with Blue Velvet, I think.
Well, I haven't seen
it's
Blue
not
Velvet.
Similar to Blue Velvet. They're very different
Betty
films.
Blue.
Betty Blue is the French. Again, not very similar to Amélie.
All right.
Not really.
Wait, what's the name of the film with the pig?
Babe,
that's the one.
Yeah.
All right, no, I never mix it with Babe. There's the Delicatessen that was around the same,
that's the same
time.
Director,
isn't it?
It's the same director. That's
is
the
it?
It's a
yeah,
great
yeah, yeah.
film.
That's a mental
that's
film.
That's a really, really
so
good film.
So it's very
that.
Similar in style with the name of the director. Yeah, it's
yeah.
the same director that did
yeah.
Delicatessen.
I remember the trailer for the Delicatessen, which was
yeah.
it was people having sex, but then everyone was in time
yeah, yeah.
to it.
Yeah,
it was
good, right?
Yeah. Was that in the movie itself? Was it?
Yes, it is.
Come on, Amélie then instead.
Amélie is a young woman who struggles to connect with other people,
mm-hmm.
has a humongous imagination, and is very good at meddling in other people's lives. So she's
okay.
struggling to connect herself with other people, so she will try and make other people connect.
Right.
In order to avoid having to deal with her own issues.
Okay.
And, well, life... you know, smacks her in the face and forces her to deal with said issues.
Could have been called Nat this, couldn't it?
It was, but I made them change the name. Yeah. I didn't want to have my real name in it. So I also like to be called Amelie quite a lot. Yeah. Off air, so, you know.
Only from behind. Yeah. And what's your, have you been in this from day one? Have you been part of the thing from day one?
Yes.
And is this the first creation of this as a live show?
No, it started in 2015 in America.
Right.
It opened originally, now let me get that straight, in Berkeley.
Right.
And then went to LA and then Broadway.
Okay.
So I had three lives. Did not do well, unfortunately. Did it not? Sorry to say.
So how's it got a new lease of life then? Because normally if something dies, it dies.
Yeah, well, so the creatives, producers and everything very generously gave the rights? I hope they gave the rights. I hope I'm not lying.
To us.
Yeah. And allowed the creative team here to kind of faff around, play around with it.
Okay,
change
so,
it into
so,
an
so it's
actor.
Been rejigged.
Yeah,
right?
Completely.
Yeah, okay.
And they came to see us when we were previewing at Newbury, so they gave their blessings and said a few, you know, suggested a few tweaks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, very, very open.
And then did you say to them, no, hang on, you fucked this up. We're
exactly.
doing it right.
Let us show
Don't
you
give us
how
tweaks.
To do your job.
We'll tell you how to make
there
this
you
work.
Go. Yeah. No, but they cried. They were very pleased.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And were they, so the people from the stage show, the original stage show, were they derivative of the movie? Were they attached in any way to that?
No, not at all.
It's not a rights thing in the movie, okay.
I think there's some. I hope I'm telling the story correctly. Jean-Pierre Jeunet, the director, gave the rights and then regretted giving the rights.
Okay.
And said it was a shame and it was a disgrace to the film. Didn't see the show. It wasn't.
So
too
didn't see the show, but decided that they hated it.
Yeah, exactly. Just he's French, isn't he?
Reviews, probably.
Well, I don't know how they work, the French. I've got no clue. I've only met one French person.
Who was that?
That girl the other week.
Oh yeah.
from Royal Central School of Speech and Drama.
Yes.
Sure she was. Could have sworn she was. Well, that's an interesting thing then, isn't it? So there's rights. Isn't it weird? The business side of all this is so bizarre. Of anything like this, it's such a bizarre meddling that goes on from all different people, and somebody you'd expect the director of the movie, did he write it as well? Was it his thing?
Oh.
Or do we not know? Or was,
this
is it debated?
Google arrives and then you pretend like
I'm looking.
Okay, no, that's right. But when people have their own attachment to something, and then it goes on to another life in a different media.
Yeah.
Then I think rights are a very odd thing how they get, because it's like it's that age old argument. Who does this belong to? Does this belong to the creators originally? It's the argument you get all the time with things like Rocky Horror and Star Wars and all that sort of stuff, where it's like, well, who does it belong to? Does it belong to the audience or does it belong to the creators?
Yeah, absolutely, ownership.
I always feel that it belongs to the creator forever. I really do feel that.
Yeah,
even when something's
babies,
released,
like a book.
Yeah. So I get a bit arsed when people say, well, no, I'm a fan of it, so it belongs to me. And it's like, well, it kind of doesn't. They're still in charge of it, but they wouldn't necessarily understand different media. You know, they wouldn't, if it was going, well, it's now a stage show, and they're like, well, I don't agree with this. It's like, well, yeah, but it's different to what you created.
Absolutely, completely. We can only be inspired by, you know, the wonderful work of Jean-Pierre Jeunet, and let's just say we can't emulate it, we can't recreate it completely on stage, because, I mean, I am sorry to say, it is impossible for me to melt into a puddle of water.
Did you try?
Mm. I mean, maybe not hard enough.
Some of these stages will have a trap door. You could have done it like you just spat and then just fallen through. If you did it quick enough.
Yeah.
If everyone spat on me, then maybe you.
Get all the members of the cast all spit on the floor. You have to do it in one motion. You just drop out of the trap door. This is why I should be involved in stuff like this.
Well, maybe directing it, do you think?
Not to direct it, but creative. I could be a magic consultant.
That's the official title.
A professional spitter.
That sounds good.
I reckon I could do that. So how involved with the cast with the creation then? Was it a collaborative piece, or was it a
did the creative team have a strong we had such a short rehearsal process, and Michael Fenterman had a very, very clear idea of what he wanted.
Why
but
do
I also
know his name?
He did many things.
He's done a lot of things. He's a director. You probably just know him from that. I'm Googling him.
You Google that while we can chat.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I know something else he did.
He did The Importance of... No, not The Importance of Being Earnest. What am I talking about? Yes, The Importance of Being Earnest and on the Strand.
Look at how she's typing.
What? What's wrong with that?
Look at how slow you're typing.
Well, keep
he
talking.
He went to Bretton Hall.
Oh, is that... No, not with you, though. He's much younger, isn't he? Look.
Can you get a fault?
He did go to Bretton Hall, not... How?
I think I know him.
okay.
I think
well,
he was
nice.
At Bretton Hall around the time that I was around.
Let's see what he's done.
I think we went to the same drama school.
Yeah, you did. Bretton Hall is where Ian went to.
Yeah.
Oh,
so shut up.
He looks good.
Ask him if he knows me next time you see him.
Taming of the
Shrew. There you go. Vaudeville Theatre. The importance of being an Ernest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Babe. You mentioned Babe earlier. Yeah. Also did Babe.
Polka Theatre. Went to Wimbledon. Yep. So he worked there with John Williams, who he used to be in a triple act with Big Enough.
Mm-hmm.
I know this dude.
Oh.
Worked at the RSC. Wardrobe with me. Back in 2012.
Now you're just reading it off the screen and pretending you've remembered.
Just in case he's listening.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I guess he had a clear vision.
He had a really clear vision, exactly. And he's worked with a few of us already from the cast.
Okay.
So I think he had, he just very brilliantly surrounded himself with strong acting musicians who would be able to just give enough material suggestions for him to.
And in terms of the staging of it, is it a spectacular staging or a minimalist staging, or what is the, or is it a secret?
It's spectacularly minimalistically wonderful.
That works. That works for me.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I saw Twilight Zone recently, in the West End.
Oh.
And it was again very minimalist what was on stage, but they made it feel full. It was very good, and a lot of it was done with light, so it was actually lighting. Ah. They lit set. Which was really impressive. I like when people work within the restraints that they have and then create something. It then provokes them to be more artistically creative.
Absolutely, yeah. If imagination.
Yeah. Twilight Zone was done in black and white, essentially. It was like watching a black and white play.
Really well done. Black and white.
It felt like it was. Like it was, you know, it was lit, but they were in greys and dark greys and black and all that sort of stuff, and the light was all like that. From the original Twilight Zone. Show,
yeah.
Really, really good, and I like that. So I like the idea of something having limitations, yet that inspires it to be more creatively.
How long is it on for?
It's finished. It's gone.
It's like gone as in it's not going to go anywhere else.
Is it not
touring? No, I'm just wondering. Maybe.
I think they were trying to, but I don't know.
Okay.
They were going to go to the other palace, but we got there first.
It could well be.
They really wanted it on 29th of November.
They've
but it's
been
like,
scooped
Emily's
by
Emily. Can't do it.
So it's 29th of November this year to 1st Feb next year. How exciting. And are you queued up for, is this going elsewhere, or is it, are you just going to wait and see now, see how this goes in the West End?
There are talks of China afterwards, and
just for a holiday or just.
Just for a holiday, absolutely. And we're just going to bring our instruments and busk in the street.
It's a musical, isn't it?
It's an acting musician version of Amelie. So
and so you play all your instruments as well on stage, or is there a band in there?
I personally play the piano in the show at one point. But everyone plays at least one. Some play three instruments, and it's brilliant. You watch the show and you end up forgetting that people are holding instruments. It becomes part of them. You've got two people standing, walking, dancing, holding their cellos, and it's glorious. It's really beautiful.
Brilliant. Well, I really hope it goes well for you.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you so much for coming in as well. I'm sorry for the hate crime that happened at the beginning there. When I played Short People. At that point, I didn't know.
No.
That I was a short person.
If I'd known at that point, I wouldn't necessarily, although I say that.
I mean, it was my fault. I said play it, didn't I?
That's true.
You might have, you said name a song that Randy Newman that you liked.
Good
so
point.
I said Short People, so I'll take the heat.
I didn't even choose it. She chose it.
Yeah.
So
I'm
that's
so sorry,
a, look
Audrey.
At that. That
I'm
is
so
a
sorry.
Hell of a glare you're getting
now. I know,
now.
I'm really sorry.
And you call yourself an Amelie.
She doesn't.
No, I don't.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
All the best with it. Well, I'm sure
thank
it'll be absolutely
much.
Fantastic. This isn't about you either. I'm not saying you're a loser.
Short loser.
The chuggy with the plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables, dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose, kill the headlights and put it in neutral, stock car flaming with the loser and the cruise control, babies in Reno with the vitamin D, got a couple of couches, sleep on the love seat, someone came saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt, don't believe everything that you breathe, you get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve, so shave your face with some mace in the dark, saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park. Yo,
will shove the other in a bag with the rerun shows and the cocaine knows ya, the daytime crap of the folk singers club. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. But get right if you can't relate. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the hate. And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters.
Just hit the hour mark, which of course is the time of the FUBAR double play.
Yeah.
And we've had Loser by Beck, of course, which is always followed by What's Up by Four Non-Blondes.
Has to be.
Do I know this one?
Yeah, of course you will. Wait till a chorus comes in, you will know this.
Oh, is it their only famous song?
Yeah, name another one. I'm sure they're all good, that's what they've done, but...
I think I'm thinking of that hidden camera show. Three Non-Blondes.
You've been framed.
Oh, well, listen to this then. I chose it because it was the longest one.
Years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. Into a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
my life is still trying to get up that creepy hill of hope for a destination.
I beg your pardon, I'm leaving it back in my trousers. Thank you now. Ready for that? That was What's Up by Four Non Blondes, who, of course, are married to Darlene from
Linda
Roseanne.
Perry is the singer.
Married to Darlene.
All of them. Sarah Gilbert.
All of Four Non Blondes are all married to Darlene from Roseanne, who we don't speak about anymore, do we not? Because she's been shamed.
What? Oh, Roseanne. I thought you meant Sarah Gilbert, hasn't you? Yeah, Roseanne has, yeah.
I think Sarah Gilbert's been shamed as well.
No, she hasn't.
By her association with Four Non Blondes and that awful song.
No, stop it.
That's what I think. We're joined now by Mark Simmons.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a triumphant return.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, you were on it, weren't you?
I came and visited you. Well,
you did briefly. Yeah, I remember you coming in, briefly.
Just looking about, wasn't he? And he just popped in for a chat.
I thought it's nice, and I thought I'd come back 6 months later.
That's allowed.
Yeah.
And you used to do the show as well with Sean.
Yeah, Walsh, yeah.
What was that one called?
Newsish.
And Filmish.
Filmish.
Newsish and Filmish.
A year ago,
check it out.
What
do you think they were about?
I don't know.
It's what tough about? From the title. Well, what do you think Newsish
To be honest,
might
it wasn't
about?
Really about either.
No, actually it wasn't. It's quite true. It's quite true.
But I've got a new podcast. Let's plug that.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah,
well,
why not?
See, because what I thought, right, I get tired at this time of day.
Yeah.
Really tired. Because we do a pre-recording in the afternoon.
Okay.
So I've done the show already, and I'm halfway through another show, and at this point I'm fucked.
We used to do that two in one.
Yeah. It's horrible, isn't it?
But like, used to do live show first, then pre-record in the afternoon.
We used to do that. It was then we changed it.
We used to go and eat a chicken. And
get
then
tired, didn't you?
Where did you eat chicken at?
In the
just
pub.
Just next door, and it was get really tired. Chicken makes you tired.
Give you a chicken.
Half a chicken they'd half have. Half a chicken. Half a chicken. Him and Sean.
From the pub downstairs.
Yeah, it's nice actually.
Nice time. You know,
it's nice. It's nice.
Yeah.
And then
I wouldn't.
You used to get
tired. No,
way more tired.
I can't see chicken making me feel too tired.
No, it will, trust me.
Well, you and Sean used to go for a little walk around the block just to revitalise yourself,
didn't
you?
Yeah.
Just come back up here and just go, I'm tired.
A walk would tire me out. I'd have to have a rest.
Just around the block, you're not far.
No, thank you.
All right, okay.
I'll have a little sit down for a bit. That's what I do. I go downstairs and I sit down, I have a little vape and stuff, play on Tune Blast.
Have a little chicken now.
Then I come back up all refreshed for like an hour and then I flag at this point.
Does vape pick you up?
It's got, well, no, not really.
Do you want to hear my vape joke?
Yes, please.
My friend asked me if I wanted a vape. I said, no, tar.
Very good.
Thanks, mate.
Good, that, isn't it?
It's not in the
it's
gold.
Clever. It's like Stephen Fry stuff, isn't it?
That's good.
It's like sort of QI sort of feel.
People say that
joke,
all the time to me.
Yeah, a bit like Stephen Fry.
Give it a rest. God, we're different people.
Well, that's it. Well, because you hosted on here before. Well, did Sean lead that show, though?
Yeah, of course.
He did, okay.
I can't do buttons and
talk. No, you don't do buttons, but I thought you can sort of essentially for the next 25 minutes.
Sean was the anchor, as you'd call it, and Mark was here in this seat where I'm sat, just sort of
chipping in,
being hilarious.
I don't mind you treating this now as you hosting the show for a bit.
I can't do it.
Why?
I don't think I could do it.
Remember, well, I don't know if we want to say we do. We would try and get, like, Sean would lead the interviews. You'd go like, I can't. But then you did once. You did a good job, didn't you?
No.
I can't remember who that was with.
No, Sean was late. He got the
got
the shits.
He did actually have to. He
and
did,
he had to get off the tube and go into a hotel to the toilet, because obviously they're the only decent toilets.
It's awful, the excuses you end up coming up with, isn't it? Why are you in that hotel? Oh, I had the shits and I had to get off the tube. That's what happened there.
He didn't look well when he came in.
What a life to live. What a life.
Honestly, he did
but
not
you
look
have to
good.
Invent the stories like that.
I can tell you, for she did not invent it, because when he came in here, we thought we might as well have a little bathroom break then, didn't we?
Yeah,
he didn't look well.
And I had to hold the fort, and it wasn't. I had to do it with the producer at the time.
It was the producer.
I think it's Lissy, wasn't it? Yeah, Lissy. Yeah.
Well, Lissy's good.
Yeah, but I think that was the dynamic.
Do you not have an urge to do that? Because it's not hard, you know.
What's that? I do my own podcast now.
Yeah, so there you
but
go.
It's about something I know about, so it's easier. But with news and films, I don't know that much, really. So.
Yeah.
But my podcast is about jokes, so it's easy. I talk about jokes that don't work.
Right.
So I chat to comics about jokes that they can't get to work.
And okay.
So I like to talk about that. Have you had any that you... like over the years, because there's always like somebody you feel like, oh, why doesn't that work?
Well, it wasn't really... it was a joke, but it was... I had a bit in my farewell show, I guess, which was Here Comes Trouble, about a suicide attempt... And I found that it was like that. I wanted to do something in the show to broach that.
Yeah,
to get this one didn't work.
No, but I thought this was really smart, but it never hit at all.
Oh, really?
Because I would set it up that way and say, right, so I'm going to speak about something now, and I warned him at the beginning of the show as well. So it's a bit dark this show in places, but it's fine. I'm fine with it, and you know all this. And I say, right, so this is we're getting now to a bit this sort of dark bit. And I thought the best way to flag this up is to sort of, I will get you in with a joke.
Yeah.
And I would go, knock, knock, and they go, who's there? And I go, suicide attempt, and they go, suicide attempt, and I go, me! And that was my way in. And it would never...
It killed it with Mark.
Mark
loved it.
Comics did. Comics did. Comics always did.
But no, honestly, death makes audiences uncomfortable. Like, I've got loads that... Now, in my set, I tell them... Oh, people don't like jokes about death. Explain it to them, and then do the jokes, and it's fine.
Is it then fine? Yeah, so you hypnotise them essentially.
Absolutely fine.
Yeah, okay.
Because I got a suicide one. My mate said he was going to do assisted suicide. He goes Switzerland. I said that's one way.
Nice.
but if I just come
that's
out
good.
With that,
no, that's yeah. good.
Nothing. They just they hate it. But if I then go into it after saying, "Look, guys, it's just a joke. Chill out," and then they relax, and I just do all my death jokes.
Now, do you think with that idea, do you think if you so someone like say, well, Tim Vine wouldn't do that, but Gary Delaney probably would.
Oh yeah.
Or Jimmy probably would. So, do you think if you set your stall out that you're doing one-liners, that you can then get away with whatever you want then, because then you're within a framework at that point. Yeah. So I think with Gary, I think Gary can get away with fucking murder on stage because he sets it out as that.
Yeah,
because
he does leads into it. He starts easy and then he tells them, right, we're going to start going a little bit darker. And he makes them think that they want it.
Well, he puts it on them, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he
says,
do you want me to go darker or do you want me to... So it's their fault, yeah.
And they always say yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's... And then Jimmy, I think just everyone knows he's like that. Don't they?
It's like Teflon Jimmy Carr, I think. I think it's amazing that Jimmy's career has not come crashing around his ankles. Like, I really do.
The tax thing, or just other stuff?
Not just that.
Oh, right, okay.
No, but let's bring that
in as well.
I don't know what else he's done,
the thing is with the tax, I always defend Jimmy on this. He did nothing wrong with his tax.
It wasn't illegal, not at all.
Then you had David Cameron in Parliament saying this is a disgrace. It's like, yeah, because of your fucking rules, you idiot.
Right?
So the moral implication of it is a different thing, but he didn't legally do anything wrong. But that's by the by.
But the joke-wise,
I remember Jimmy apologising for a joke once, and I remember feeling really angry with him.
Yeah,
so I was like, no.
Which joke
don't.
Was that?
I think it was
because he's done a lot. That's been
Summer Through the Paralympics. I think it was. And landmines or something like that. It was something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I remember.
So he apologised for it.
There was some sort of apology to it, and I felt like he'd. He'd made a serious error of judgment in apologising.
But if you're on mainstream Channel 4, I imagine, or anywhere, they would be encouraged.
Well, maybe, yeah,
what,
maybe.
What
yeah.
would have happened if he didn't apologise?
Could lose his show. Could he?
Really?
How long ago was that? Was he at the stage where he is now?
Was it on his live show? Because if it's live show, I think it's different. If he did it on TV, maybe then a channel might make him apologise.
Well, you get a thing, don't you? A lot of people who record live shows, they can bring them out on DVD or what have you, and then somewhere down the line, a TV channel 4 will show it, and then it has another lease of life and another audience.
There's the joke.
Oh, you got it.
Go on now, deliver it in your best Jimmy
Carr. No, I'm not just going to
get your fingers
all
together.
Mark, you deliver it in your style.
The only thing I do like Jimmy Carr is his laugh.
You've got a similar one, haven't you?
I don't buy it.
But my laugh or his?
His.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
So
I don't buy it.
But so I got a review once saying that I'd stolen Jimmy Carr's laugh.
Oh, really?
Like I'd watched him and gone, yeah, that's a good bit.
I'm loving that.
You stole his laugh, steal his joke now.
In that same review, it said I stole Frankie Ball's nose twitch. One, I didn't know he did a nose twitch. Two, I didn't know I did a nose twitch.
Are they thinking of Bewitched?
Yeah.
The old programme.
He's got a nose twitch.
Did
that.
That's not very good audio.
Can you get Mark to speak more into the mic? I knew that was coming. Come on, Mark, you've been away. Here, see the joke.
To be honest, the mic isn't working.
All I got for it as a note.
I knew what was
as
happening.
As a note, I got, can you get Mark?
Oh, yeah.
I think they want us
is
to
in?
Beat him up.
What do you want me to do? Yeah.
Are you trying to get me to deliver this?
No,
I
don't.
Get
absolutely don't do it. No, don't do it.
I'll just say it.
No, because that's not, that it's not a dumb thing.
Oh, is it not? I'm not trying to get another comedian to nick a joke.
Well, he's not nicking it, but even as a, that would be a.
Do you want to hear my most stolen joke?
Go for it.
I went to Waterstones, asked a woman for a book about turtles. She said hardback, and I was like, yeah, little heads.
Why is it stolen?
It was on a list of best jokes of the Fringe, and then people nick it, and they don't ever use my name with it.
And then you get told.
Hundreds of thousands of shares, and that.
Oh,
and
really?
I get nothing.
Do you go for... Stock
AM nicked it.
Really?
Yep.
How do you police that? You can't, can you?
No.
It's an odd thing. I know, again, Gary Delaney has spoke many times about... What's the website called...
Oh, that's yeah.
That regularly
Wikipedia, but it was a Darkopedia or something.
Something like that. Sickopedia.
Yeah.
And they will regularly put people's jokes on there as like a database of jokes. But then what invariably happens, because it was such a huge site, is that people would then go to his gigs and go, oh, you got that off Sickopedia. It's like, no, well, then they got it off me.
Yeah.
And no one's ever going to believe that, but that's the truth. That's what happens.
So when Talk AM or whoever have done that joke, mm-hmm. do you, because I know some other comedians do say like, oh, hey, that was great when I did it, first of all. But do you message people and say like,
I put it on Twitter. Well, to be honest with that joke, it doesn't bother me so much anymore. It's just because that happens so much. Yeah. It's a compliment, if anything.
Right,
but
okay.
I get quite a lot of attention from it because people are always tweeting it to me. So I'd make a big deal out of it. But someone tweeted at me like complaining that you can't own a joke. And that they probably heard that one before anyway. And it's the first time I've used the C word online.
Right.
I said, you're a cunt.
Right.
I bet you've heard that before, I know.
Right. Yes, Mark, yeah.
Yeah, but I felt, that's not me.
Then Twitter going to say, and by the way, that's free for everyone to use to him. You can all use that.
Take it. Did they respond to that?
I can't remember, to be honest. I might, yeah.
That would be enough to go, okay, I've backed out of this one now. There's nothing more to come back with.
I also think they could,
yeah.
I had a split loyalty to that idea of you can't own a joke. Because I think that's an ethos that's been handed down over the years from when jokes were pulled. And I think that's been handed down. And I don't think that's necessarily true now. I think you can own a joke. But I think in order to own a joke, it has to be fundamentally your joke.
Yeah.
So I remember, I think, was it Stu that said something like, I don't know, whoever it was, somebody certainly said something about if you write a joke that... I think it was that Joe Pasquale can perform.
Yeah.
You need to write better jokes.
It was about Jimmy Carr.
Was it about Jimmy Carr? Okay, yeah. So
that Joe Pasquale stole, but if
Joe Pasquale can perform your material,
well, it might have been Jim Davidson actually. I think it was Jim Davidson.
Maybe.
Yeah, if he can perform your material, then maybe you should think about writing something else.
Yeah.
That's the trouble with my stuff. It's one-liners. Anyone could do my stuff. Technically,
that's where there's an issue, isn't it? Because if you write one-liners. That's still a perfectly noble profession and a perfectly noble way of doing stand-up. So, and it's like, well, of course anybody can tell them. That's the joy of those jokes, is that they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you say, the success of a joke is perhaps that it takes on a life of its own.
Yeah, but my thing now is I just keep writing more. Don't worry
about
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because some people get a bit... Just write more. There's only one. It's like 10 seconds in my show.
And if you've only got 5 jokes in you, then comedy ain't the career for you.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. So if you can just keep doing it.
So I should give up.
This is why she's asked me to bring you in.
But yeah, well, I don't think you should give up. You've got your show that you want to talk about as well. One liner, which you want to talk about.
So my podcast, though, is called Jokes with Mark Simmons.
Yes.
So check it out. And one liner.
Don't have to now. You tell me all about it. I know everything about it.
Yeah, well, you've almost done an episode. We should do an episode.
I just did one right now.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not
that's
a comic
a taster.
Anymore.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm not a comic, and I don't have any jokes.
You're always a comic.
I don't think I am. I honestly don't think I am.
I think you're quite funny, though.
Yeah, you're comic. You're funny on here.
These are lovely reviews.
Yeah.
You're funny on here, mate. I mean, you've never been gigging, really. No, I was that good at it. I just didn't like the lifestyle.
Travelling around
and everything. Yeah, I hated all that. And I started to hate audiences.
Oh, really?
Like, really, viscerally.
Oh.
Where I was like, you are thick as pig shit, you people. Like, it was happening too many times.
Well, why did you think that? Because they weren't laughing at the right bits? Or?
Just the way people had... It appeared to me how people had started to behave. They may have always been like that, and maybe I was more immune to it.
Yeah.
But as time went on, I was like, I can't handle another fucking phone lighting up in an audience. I can't handle another person.
Are you doing Jonglers?
No, never done anything like that.
Oh,
so
really?
I was actually kind of...
So even in the nice gigs, it was...
Yeah, I was a bit precious with what gigs I took.
Yeah.
Probably to my financial detriment anyway, but I did only do sort of gigs I wanted to do, and occasionally some would, like Baby Blue and all them pricks, they would slip through. But, I pretty soon refined it, but even with refining, I was like, apart from touring my own show, which then was a pleasure...
Yeah.
I always enjoyed that, going out and doing my own show to people that knew me already. I loved that. But I'd
they're horrible. Then, like, sometimes you get some right old pricks who'd come into a show quite late.
She did that in Edinburgh. Yeah. In Edinburgh.
I felt so bad.
Really?
She should have done.
I got there early. I had to queue up for the ticket, Mark, in the rain. And then I knew, I said to the person I was with, I said, if there's one show I'm not going in late to, it's Ian's, because that is, he's going to know. And then,
can we point out that she did say she had to queue up
for a
ticket?
Yeah, I
did say that at the box office. Yeah, I had to queue up for a ticket.
I did, queue up for a ticket.
I did,
had to check whether any left. And
exactly. Right. I had to queue up for a ticket.
I think with the phones thing, like, I think, because I'm lucky that, and if people are late, because I do one-liners, it doesn't matter when you come in. But I can't.
But it matters to you on stage.
It's kind of a rude thing,
isn't it? That's how I would take it.
Yeah, it is. But then you just kind of, you can't worry about it otherwise the gig's thrown.
Yeah.
So I just stop, wait,
Yeah.
And that's nice. Again. That's a nice reaction. What I do is I
just tell people what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I say this word a lot on stage. I say, I've been doing this job quite a long time now. I just know that if there's a bit of distraction while you're telling a joke, people don't laugh. So I just wait till everything's settled and sorted and I'll crack on.
But I think that's because it was a cumulative effect to it, I think. No, I think it was. It wore me down over time. Think to then go, do you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. Rather than, I'd hate to be the person still trolling the circuit, fucking hating everyone and like that bitter comic.
Do you know,
I would hate that. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that. So you bow out of it and you sort of go, right, well, I'm going to do something different and I'm much happier doing the stuff that I'm doing now. But I remember touring with Reg D. Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember Reg was exceptional at that sort of thing, of literally getting on the stage and going, look,
he's so chilled.
If you want to go to the toilet at any point, it's fine. You just go to the toilet. It's not a problem at all. I won't pick on you or anything like that. But it sets the room quite well. Whereas I would be like, you can't not go to the toilet.
For 1 hour.
That's in an hour show, but for fucking 20 minutes.
Oh, you've got to hold it.
If you really, then you shouldn't be leaving the fucking house.
Are you serious? People would go to the toilet in a 20-minute set?
Yeah, it's the drinking loads of beer in the break.
Yeah, it's not, isn't it?
Put an nappy on.
Oh, no.
It's 20 minutes.
People don't care. People are rude.
It's the
confident people that.
That is a bit rude, isn't it? I think within an hour I might be able to go.
They don't deserve me.
Okay.
And did you have long bits when you were doing your stand up? Like, so if you got interrupted, that sort of ruins the flow.
Sometimes it was all kind of storytelling, really.
So that's the
whole thing was really, but it wasn't. But I did. I will, and I do it in just regular speech anyway, where I'll be halfway through saying something, and something else will occur to me, and I will go off.
Yeah.
So it's not like I was always tied into a story, and I could leave the story, just leave it like quite easily. Yeah. But I think there's an insecurity element to it where you're like, well, don't treat me like this.
Mm.
I'm a fucking person, you know, that sort of thing.
I
was also kind of provocative sometimes with an audience. You know, I would sometimes go out on the... When I did a character, I was on the attack straight away, you know, sort of calling people out and all that and taking the piss with the front row and all that sort of thing. So
any distraction was like gold, really?
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when you try and do it as yourself and you're like, oh, well, I reserve the right to start picking on you, but also I don't want you to interrupt the other bit. You know, it's a real double standard to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did the noble thing.
Right. When was your last Edinburgh?
2014,
was it?
I think it was.
Wow.
Yeah, Here Comes Trouble.
Yeah.
And that was my last Edinburgh.
And you haven't been back there?
No, it was my last Edinburgh.
Right, that's it. It's done.
And shall remain so.
Yes, yeah.
I don't understand why somebody would go. Why are you going?
Why am I going? I go to just get more jokes.
Okay.
Because if I won't write, it makes me write so much.
I thought you meant like robbing him. I thought you meant like...
Yeah.
Basically, I go and stand.
Yeah, if you think I'm annoyed about that.
I go and see a student production that no one else sees and I just I'll nick loads from there. Yeah. No, is it that? Is it an intensive working
type? Yeah, because my stuff's never going to win the Edinburgh Award. That's not really like a goal for me.
Right.
But I get better every year because I just feel like jokes are like ammo. Now in a gig, most of the time, if anything happens in the room, I've usually got a gag that I can somehow link to whatever's happened.
Okay.
So if it's someone spills a drink, I've got a joke about a drink. Do you know what I mean? It's just things like that.
Yeah.
So I that's sort of my motivation of just getting that ammo together.
And so when you prep a show, are you done now? You're ready for that?
No, never until I get there. It's nearly there. But it's just so
they should avoid you for the first week.
Yeah, but 50 minutes of one-liners, it's like of good ones.
Yeah,
like you can do crap ones, but to get the quality, it's stress. Like I'm constantly on all the time. I can't sleep. Like, but
why would you do that to yourself?
I don't know, but I love it. That's the thing. I do love it.
See, I never
do you have
that's
like a notepad or something? Like when you stick the thing to the phone, then you just
amazing
in the notes.
Or do you just rely on remembering?
Everyone does that, do they?
Do you write them down?
Everyone wants to wake up and have to be woken up. You might not do that.
Do you have a notepad
or something by you where you like write
fucking
it?
Questions. Now you get on the.
Oh fuck off, Ian! You're really annoying me today.
The worst thing is when you drive in and you come up with an idea. That's because you have to stop because you can't just get your phone out and
you write recording it down. To your phone. You can speak it into your phone.
Are you allowed to do that, though? Yeah. Are you allowed to press the button? Is that allowed?
Well, if you're... It's
is that what Jimmy Carr was doing? Going back to Jimmy Carr. He got done for being on his phone, but then I think he got out of it because he said he was just recording on a voice.
Right, okay. But was he holding his phone? You're not allowed to hold your phone. I know that for definite. Okay. You can't hold it.
But you could.
But if it's in a cradle...
Yeah, you could.
Okay.
I don't know whether or not... But you wouldn't be able to text. You wouldn't be allowed to do that.
Well, you'd definitely crash.
Was grey area, yeah. Isn't there, with that? I don't know. If it's in a cradle.
I often wonder that, yeah.
And what if your phone just starts playing something and you're like, oh no, I've got to turn it off. Yeah, yeah. You're not allowed to touch it. And then you have a crash because four non-blondes has come on.
But you can do the Siri, do that thing for me, or whatever.
Good point.
Do that. Oh, thank you. I redeem myself,
Siri,
there. Thank
can
you.
I leave a voicemail?
You can do
voice
that,
message.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you go, but the problem is then, if you're recording a voice, you're if you're recording a joke, and you might go, hey Siri, okay, knock, knock, and Siri might go, who's there? Go, no, listen.
That's true.
I'm not telling you the joke. I just want you to write this down. That's where AI could can you fuck your Edinburgh.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Really can. Well, that's exciting for
but
you.
Come see my Edinburgh show.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean,
it's called One Line.
Ian, it could be your return to Edinburgh for this.
So the Banshee Labyrinth.
Just okay. 450.
Is it Banshee Labyrinth? That's
yeah,
nice
it's room. A nice room, right? Yeah, in the bottom bit.
Yeah.
And that's another reason I go every year, because I've got that room. And
okay.
If I miss a year, then I might lose that room. So I want that room because it's amazing.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. So
that actually appears in the Powerpod movie. That.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, very briefly.
Does it? Yeah, oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, because.
Did they tell you?
Dave.
Don't give spoilers away.
Okay.
What did he say?
He just told me about the.
That we'd film.
Can I say there's a ghost? Is that
allowed? Said there's a ghost.
Or there's a. Not,
they claim there's a ghost.
Oh, hang on. You're skeptic. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
There ain't no ghost, mate.
But okay, yeah, they claim it is.
We filmed there, yeah.
Oh,
we did
cool.
Film there.
Oh,
we filmed nearby.
So. When's that coming out?
Oh, that's a.
It's the ongoing.
I do know.
Because your partner in crime showed me. Oh. We were gigging together, and it was another place. And
he took him in it. What did he show you?
He took me downstairs in this.
This is big move from him. There,
I can't remember what venue it is. It was one of Spiky Mike's gigs,
right?
And it was downstairs in this old.
If you say
prison.
Spiky Mike gigs, can you please do the air quotes? When you say gigs,
Spiky
can
Mike
you do the
gigs.
Can you do the air quotes when you say gigs?
Spiky Mike gigs.
What did he show you, Mark?
Oh, just this old prison down there. And I was expecting it to be really creepy, but it had all been painted and it looked really nice. So I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was really excited.
That was my life for a long time. Well, look, all the best with it, man. Well,
thanks, mate.
That's a difficult one, saying it. One liner,
It was, yeah,
right?
Originally it was one liner, next year one liner, and this year
one liner. Oh, I see, so this is an ongoing thing. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Different.
Fine.
An extra ER each time.
Yeah,
and the podcast is Jokes with Mark Simmons. Who have you had so far on your podcast?
Sean Walsh.
Sean's done it a couple of times. Nick Helm of FUBAR fame. Glenn Moore. Joey's not done it, but he was meant to.
Oh, he's going to Joey another one.
He's going to be doing it. Yep. Angela Barnes. Yeah. Oh, everyone.
Nice. Okay.
Everyone under the sun.
And are you happy with
Rob Beckett's
it
on this week. Rob Beckett's this week. That's this week's one.
Nice. And that's called Jokes with Mark Simmons.
Yeah. Check it out.
Perfect.
Thanks, man.
I think that's all the housekeeping done.
Lovely.
I think so, yeah.
Anything else you wanted to say?
No, I've had a great time.
Have you, though?
Oh, that's nice.
What have you had out of 10? What have you had out of 10?
Nice to see you.
10, mate.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's been lovely.
Friend of the show, Mark Simmons.
I'm sorry to do that to you.
plain. You don't like my point of view, you think that I'm insane. It's not sane, it's not sane.
Fade Out. Just to explain, I wouldn't have played that myself.
Why? It's a good song. I like that.
But we were talking to Mark Simmons.
We were having a chat, yeah.
In real life, so I just whacked another song on because Blind Melon just ran out.
And then Mark went, "Give me some Tears for Fears. That's my favourite band of all time."
And
I said, no, and then I went, "Do it."
We're joined now by Lila Mabrati.
Hey, hey.
Is that correct?
Yes.
I'm all over that.
I'm impressed.
And we're talking about the new punk musical that you're starring in. It's called Parakeet.
Yes, it is.
Now, at the Payne's Plough Roundabout.
Yes, it is.
I don't
is.
Know what that is.
Well, it's a stage in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And it's a fully functioning stage, which could be assembled anywhere, and it's going to be in Edinburgh for the whole of the Fringe Festival.
Is it outdoor?
The stage is, but it's enclosed.
Okay, right.
So it's a stationary building that can move.
Nice, okay. So yeah. Is it on a roundabout?
No, it's actually a round.
Oh, I see,
so
right.
So like the Egyptian back in the day.
Yeah,
one of those.
Oh, I'm slightly disappointed. I wanted it to be a roundabout.
In a theatre.
I wanted the Edinburgh Fringe to have got to the point where they were doing plays
no space,
on a roundabout.
No space
Parakeet
anywhere.
Itself is quite psychedelic, so you could be in there and feel like you're in the round.
Is it? Yeah, okay. So what sort of show is it? What happens in the show? Is it an ensemble piece or is it a solo show? Is it what? How
no,
does it
it's
work?
A three-hander.
Yep.
Well, there's three main characters.
Okay.
And then it also has the two parakeets.
Okay.
Who are the writer?
Yeah.
And the MD.
Okay.
And it's about these three girls who decide to protest,
right,
against a tree that's going to be cut down.
Okay.
And the parakeets, which are birds,
yeah,
live in the tree, and so they were protesting to stop the tree being cutting down.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's it? So it says that it's a punk musical.
Yes.
Is it original music?
Absolutely.
All original music.
100%.
With a punk feel.
Definitely, but it crosses genres.
It can cross gender as well, I don't mind.
I mean, it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Edinburgh,
innit? Got to do all that. Edinburgh.
I mean, yeah. But it's a predominantly female cast,
okay,
with the exception of the MD.
Okay.
Yeah. It's done.
And what stage are you at with it now? Because has it already been performed, this, or is it a work in progress at the moment?
So we've done 3 weeks of rehearsals.
Okay.
We've taken a break and we go back into rehearsals on Monday, actually.
Nice.
So we've got one more week rehearsal before we go off to Edinburgh.
Is it a written piece or is it an ensemble creation? Is it a...
No. It's written. It's got characters. It's directed by Bridget. And, it's written by... I know her as Brie, so
okay, that's well.
She's
say
a
Brie.
Phenomenal writer, and her partner Gaz, he's a phenomenal musician, and they
yeah.
work together as writer and musician generally anyways.
Okay.
So they come from singer-songwriter background, and then they've structured a play around a sequence of songs that tell a story about this necessary conversation.
Have you been to the Fringe before?
Yes, I have.
What did you do before?
I did a play called Concrete Jungle,
right?
Full of wild cars. And then I did another play called Journeys Beyond, which was co-written by Che Walker.
Okay.
As part of like Whack Arts production.
We were just talking to the guest before, to Mark, who's going up to the Fringe with a stand-up show, and I don't know why anybody enjoys it anymore. I think if you go once, I get going once, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
If you go once, you get it, and they get the experience, but I don't know why you wouldn't learn.
No, but it depends. It totally depends on the production.
Okay.
And the company you go there with.
Yeah.
The first time I went, I was a virgin. I'd never been to Edinburgh.
Right.
I think I found out about it that first year.
Okay.
And it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, it was, at the time, it was a predominantly black cast as well.
Okay.
Predominantly females. And so Edinburgh is not very colourful in that way.
No, I mean, it's more so during the Fringe.
Yeah, for
but,
sure,
but, yeah,
but
you're
in
right,
comparison,
you're right. Yeah.
But still
yeah.
not. So, of course, we felt like peacocks in that space.
Yeah.
But, we would sing for free. So the idea that someone will pay us to sing was great and do a show. And then I really enjoyed the hustle and bustle of it all. But it definitely depends on the company that you're with and the play that you're working on.
Right.
Like, it was phenomenal. I think that was the first year I did a show every night for a month. That was phenomenal. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe more pressure on stand-up at Edinburgh, maybe.
Because?
I don't know, maybe it's the award might come into
maybe
it.
That.
Maybe comes into
is
it.
Is it that it's just you as well? It's rather
I think,
cast
I think
people?
And again, I would stand corrected if somebody could give me concrete proof the other way. But I think there is a... you feel much more in competition as a stand-up in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And I feel that with theatre stuff, it's more everyone's properly looking out for each other. So even in comedy, you'll get your cliques who are all like lifting each other up and all the rest of it. You know, they're all quite happy for their friends. But as an overall movement, I think is a very competitive, by nature, as a business, it's competitive. Whereas I think with theatre, there's more of a feel of we're all in the same boat here. So there's more of a...
Within a particular production or within a particular
dance? No, across the genre.
Possibly, but equally, I don't know. Do you pay... Because the most of the comedy I saw previously was free.
Right, okay.
So I don't know. Is there a lot of shows that you pay for if you're not a named artist?
I would presume there still is, yeah.
Yeah, I know Free Fringe seems to have become... bigger, and there are a lot more sort of well-known comedians doing the Free Fringe, but there is a lot of shows that you pay £10 a ticket to go and see, right? In some of the bigger big venues there. Yeah.
They still don't make any money. Like, they still won't make any money themselves. It'll all be swallowed up by production and be swallowed up by the venue.
Well, costs and the posters, right?
Yeah.
Edinburgh isn't like a space you go to. It's mainly like I find that Edinburgh is a place where you test out your material. And if you've got good storyline and a good idea that you've put together and you want to put it on its feet, Edinburgh is a... Because you can go to Edinburgh and not be a named person.
Yeah.
And your audience will come on the basis of, you know, what they think your piece is about, if you've done any of the free stages, so they've tasted you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So their interest in coming to see you is not because... They won't be coming to see me because I'm Lulu Mabratu.
Yeah.
Like, most of them might not have heard of me before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They will come on the strength of what the story's about, or some of the music they might have seen, or the promo material that we might have done around the subject matter.
Yeah.
And then once they're there, if we deliver, then, you know, word of mouth goes tenfold.
Yeah.
And then if we don't deliver, then that's when you feel...
Well, there would be a difference with theatre and stand-up, because stand-up... Right. If you went, cause it used to be the ethos with stand-up that you went there to, you know, just sort of try your new thing. You know, you could be more experimental, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But now, if you arrived at Edinburgh with an experimental show that wasn't quite ready or that wasn't quite, you'd be like lynched. It'd be an awful situation.
A new
show
as well, right?
It's got to fucking hit the ground running,
right?
And be polished and all the rest of it.
Oh, of course, it's not a play. Like, if you think about it, there's a show every hour on the hour. In every venue that could remotely be considered a venue in Edinburgh.
Mm.
So you can't go there with a half-hearted, it's not an open mic, although they do have that, and that's got its own space.
Yeah.
But it is where you go to test out polished work, like finished. It's not like a seed of an idea, I just want to feel
it out. That's what I mean. So, but it could have been, and as I understand it, I mean, I think even I did Edinburgh first time in 99, and even then I did a show that was rehearsed and finished to a degree.
Yeah.
But there was certainly, and it felt like there was an allowance that it was like, oh, they're trying something new. They're actually trying to do something. Whereas now I think it'd be a yes or no to that straight away.
But so how many times did you do Edinburgh?
10.
So 10. Okay, so
oh, wow.
Let's say on your sixth time.
Yeah.
Why did you, what was the need to still keep doing it there? You were kind of well known as a comedian, right? You knew that. And so what was it a thing about? Was it for the awards? What was the reason to keep going back there every year?
I think I did very different things each year.
Right, but what I mean is why Edinburgh?
So there was a trilogy of Peacock and Gamble shows. There was a trilogy of Big and Daft shows. There was only one straight stand-up show. No, there were two. But there was only one polished stand-up show.
Yeah.
Which was my last one.
Right.
There was one that was kind of a comedy play sort of thing. Okay. You know, one time I was part of a package show, which my fourth Edinburgh, I did the Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
And I think that there wasn't necessarily... I think it was me trying to find what I was, is what I think, as much as anything else. And then maybe expand your audience stuff. But I think, weirdly, you mentioned my sixth Edinburgh. I think it was my sixth Edinburgh that I came back from and went, do you know what, fuck this. I'm gonna work out how you do a podcast.
Ah, okay.
This was before podcasts were really properly a thing.
Yeah.
And got lucky, and I was like, I want a fan base, I want people, you know, I want to cultivate my own audience that like my stuff, not the coming because a flyer has convinced them to come.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that was at that point where I was right.
So if there's a stand-up, let's say, I don't know if there are, someone's done it for like 25 years, 20 years.
Mm.
When they go there, are they still looking to go there for a month to get new fans, or are they got their fans? Because it just seems like what would be the worst would happen if you didn't go to Edinburgh for a month?
But then
would the show suffer?
If you think about this, that's also where shows are broken. So also bookers and everybody else goes to Edinburgh. It's like a showcase of new work.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're it's not even just about the flyer in itself. If you're doing something interesting, like, you know, if you do cliche stuff, I don't know how well that does in Edinburgh. If you're doing, so like with this play, for example, it comes under the guise of punk music. But if you listen to the, you know, how often do you have electronic music within punk? You know, my character plays the thumb piano, for example, which has like, she can slow and speed up the tempo, and she live records that whilst in the middle of speaking to the audience. If you think of like using creative tools that are present outside of the traditional paintbrushes that you use for traditional theatre, then you have an interesting piece of theatre. And that's what will probably catch, because those are the kind of shows that caught my attention when we previously went. And if you don't have that, you can put bums on seats, but then you will only have, you know, the expense of an Edinburgh gig and your serious hustle during the hours of the day trying to get people bums on seats. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And then that's when it might be disheartening to go to Edinburgh. But if you really believe in your show.
But yeah, there's that. I think when you said about, well, why do they do it? Why do people do it? I think it would be different for every individual.
Right.
And I think it would actually be quite interesting to ask them.
Yeah.
And then go, no, think before you answer.
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? And I think you might find, again, I'm just hypothesizing here, a lot of them have got no idea why they're doing it. Like, no clue.
It could be like, all my mates are going there for a month, so I should be there too.
It could be that I like being in the same place for a month. It's a festival and a celebration, all the rest of it. And I like that. That's perfectly noble. But the other people who do it from a career point of view, who think, oh, I want this, this, and this. And then you could go, well, is that definitely the best way to do that? Is that going to be absolutely the best way of doing that? I think theatre has retained the spirit of what the Fringe is. I think it has. Absolutely. I think stand-up has totally lost it.
Right.
Like, I really do. So you made the right call doing theatre stuff. for sure.
I'll be sure to let Boundless and Shakalala.
I think it is. I would love the Fringe to reclaim all that, you know, and I think the Free Fringe with comedy nearly did it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it became very successful and then turned into exactly what it was replacing, ultimately.
Well, then maybe the trick is to collaborate and co-produce shows with, like, companies like Boundless Theatre or like Boom Shakala Productions that are not traditionally the kind of production companies that might do specific things.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when you get a bunch of interesting creatives together, then the end product is some interesting work.
Yeah, but then a little bit later it'll become a row. There's a sweet spot of perfection and creation, and then literally like a week later someone will go, this show is about me, and then it'll start getting tense behind the scenes, and then people will be falling out and the show will suffer slightly, and then before you know it somebody's left.
Then that's the difference between stand-up, because that's a one-man show pretty much, right,
generally speaking.
And within theatre, like, my background is music too, so I remember a teacher used to once tell me, Lula, if you look after the music will always look after you.
Yeah.
And so working in a band, because you get the egotistical drummer or the whatever, and as a vocalist, your voice is only as loud as your microphone sometimes, you know? But thinking in that way means that, like, the ego will always, the majority will rule over any ego that's sitting in the room.
Yeah.
And because it has to serve the story. If it doesn't serve the story, like, I play an electronic MIDI gloves called Mimu gloves.
Okay.
And so through moving my fingers and my hands, I can control sound, visual lights, I can record on the fly. It's quite cool.
Wow, okay. Wow,
right? I'm a one.
It's like an updated theremin.
It's, you know, there's
it's the iPhone of theremins.
Pretty much. But so I'm one of like a handful of people worldwide who have a pet.
Okay.
Now, we considered using it for my character, Tam. Although in the context of this story, it didn't serve her to be one person. And, you know, I play with this all day long.
Yeah.
I'd love to show off, but it doesn't serve my character. And so the decision was, okay, let's explore other instruments she could play.
Yeah.
That still do what we need it to do, introduce the electronic element to the story, but not, you know, self-masturbate on stage whilst I stand there and show off with glove stuff.
That was going to be my 11th Edinburgh show.
And the way it's a shame that
I'm going to borrow your gloves, and you probably won't want them back.
No.
I guess the trick with ensemble is to recognise the, you know, the importance of the whole. Of the, you know,
100%.
But a lot of people don't. A lot of people do think they're the star, or they do think that they're the thing that makes it what it is. And I think it's kind of a brave leap of faith when you realise I need you and I need you and I need you.
Yeah.
because I couldn't do this on my own, and neither could you.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite a...
100%.
And that happens, I think, more in the theatre than it would in
the... Because it's all about reciprocity. Mm. Like, even when you're not speaking, you always have to consider, like, what's your relationship between everybody in the room? And how do you feel about what they're saying to you right now?
Yeah.
And the lines are never quite the same every day, because she will say it differently to you every day. So how does your character respond differently? And how does your character feel about what she's saying to you today?
Yeah.
It's the little nuances that, like, that make the whole play feel exciting and alive.
In theatre stuff, would you still dick about on the last night?
What do you mean, dick about?
Well, at the Fringe, I think generally speaking in comedy, and not all comedy, but certainly some people, and I think I've been guilty of it some days, some years, and other years I didn't. But on the last day of the Fringe, you're like, ah, it's finished now. So you sort of let loose a little bit.
Oh, no, because the thing is, I always find in theatre, that towards the end, you've just lived in your character.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is their last time to live. Like, after that day, they almost die on stage.
But if you took your glove...
I mean,
and didn't tell anybody. And then in the last show, you could just walk on with your hands behind your back so that nobody suspects it.
No, we might do some open just mic situations.
Make the whole show about, look what I could do, I am the star of the show, thank you.
But in all fairness, though,
I'll take that Fringe first, thank you.
I get to play an electric guitar. Come on, I get to play some.
Everybody
some
plays an electric guitar.
No, but in truth, once you've been gloving for 4 years.
Gloving?
Like, literally. I'm introducing you to some new vocabulary.
I remember.
I said that to you too.
It sounds like a real underground thing. I'm a glover. I don't know.
No.
You may not have heard about it now, but you will. You just have one of these glovers that they have these days.
I mean,
you are there from the 31st of July to 25th. No days off, unlike most comedians.
Good.
Have a 13th off.
Should hope so.
No days off for you. No,
good for you.
Yes, good.
Yeah, no, good. No, genuinely, good for you.
There is a day off.
Right, oh, well, shame on you. Well, then shame on you.
There isn't, because it's not on your press release. I'm afraid it's all days.
Then
for
it's
you.
Official. We are committed to the
every
story
day.
From the 31st to the 25th.
Don't you take a day off, because somebody might come on with gloves. I might steal your thunder for the end of the Fringe. And when you come on, you go, oh, look at these. And they go, oh, we saw him. We saw him last Tuesday. He was wearing them. He was brilliant.
Maybe that's what I'm mistaken. There's a day off from the guitar playing. Maybe
not
there's
for you.
A gloves day.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by these gloves.
I'm going to have to be a glover too.
What an exciting
I'm
thing.
Into this.
Come to Edinburgh.
Hey,
it's going to be a phenomenal show.
I won't be, but other people should.
5 o'clock.
Yeah,
5 past 5.
Paynes Plough roundabout.
Yes, brilliant. In Somerset.
Summer Hall.
Lula Mabros, thank you ever so much. Thanks for coming in. We do appreciate it. Thanks also to Audrey Brisson. That's how she's trying to say it. And Mark Simmons as well. Thank you, Nat. We shall see you again next week.
Yeah, we will.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh,
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.